Hi, my name is Patrick Kelly, and I just listened to the first episode of your podcast. It was very funny and educational at the same time. I have actually started using System Access, not uninstalled Windowize, but I don't know, I just like the approach better.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast.
Serotalk Podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle.
www.serotalk.com,
a production of Serotech Corporation, creators of System Access, the System Access Mobile Network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Michael Law.
Welcome to the third Serotalk Podcast, hopefully getting better and better each time. This is Michael Law.
And this is Ricky Inger.
Today, the main theme of the presentation is social networking. What is it? Why should we do it? And now that I've been turned on to it, it is absolutely awesome.
What is it? And why should we do it? The answer to both questions is fun.
The word I'm hearing a lot now, infotainment. Just having fun, but also staying in touch with people and current events.
You can find out what all of your friends are doing, and you can actually do things like get information out to a lot of people in a very short time. One interesting example of that is the Braille display petition that has been created by George McDermott. He has created a Facebook group about it, and we now have a petition to sign as far as getting people on board with developing Braille displays using the standard human interface device in Windows. So that's really a cool use of Facebook and social networking in general, having a petition online and having a place that you can post about that. And within 12 hours, you're going to have quite a few signatures because lots and lots of people will know about it.
At Serotalk.com, you can get a link to that. Three new promotions for the 12 days of Christmas that run December 13th through the 24th. Why don't you talk about those?
For those of you with your happy little System Access Mobile or perhaps System Access Standalone, and you've got two licenses and you got five machines, we have come up with a perfect solution. You can get your System Access licenses, extra licenses now, for $149 as opposed to $199. Those of you with System Access and you haven't quite decided to take the plunge with the mobile network yet. You know that it has lots of cool entertainment and information and the ability to remote control your home computer as well as help out System Access users with their computers. But again, you haven't decided to jump in there. Now's the time to do it because rather than the normal subscription fee of $129 a year, you can begin with a network subscription for $99.
That's right. So in addition to the thousands of radio stations and all the great audio that's on the network, the third-party email, the chat with the other users, the user forums to meet like-minded people. You know, I've been with the company 6 weeks, but this morning overlooked something that was so obvious. I just couldn't believe it. I was trying to fix some issues with the sound on my computer, lost all sound, but, you know, you panic, your computer comes up, you don't hear anything, you assume that it just didn't boot, or at best it's in safe mode.
You're sniffing for smoke, you're afraid it's dead.
Ricky says, why don't you just see if it's on? I'm like, well, that's a long shot, but I guess. So what you do, remote access is, next thing I know, she's in my computer, probing around.
I'm like, mooh-ha-ha.
Because you get that with the mobile network. That ability to work on someone else's, if you like, or your own computer to fix your own drivers. I mean, if I had to wait, you know, my son would have come over tonight. I recommend everyone, if you haven't done so, if you like to work on computers, to actually buy an external USB sound card is a great investment.
Or a USB headset, just some sort of USB device that will give you speech outside your normal sound drivers. You plug those things right in, they come up and say, hey, I want to be the default now, and you're up and running.
That is so awesome that you have that ability, because think about it, that was a whole day I could have lost either before I got someone over to help me or...
And you guys out there would have been delayed receiving your podcast.
That's so right. Ricky,
saved the day.
You day saver,
yeah,
you.
I saved the day. I'm the hero. You know, not only can you get that awesome feature with the mobile network, but all of your updates are free. Normally, if you just had System Access and you wanted to continue receiving your updates each year, it's $60 with the network. You get those automatically.
So when you look at it that way, really about 60 and, you know, 69 for the network, however you want to look at it. It's a great deal.
So we've talked about these first two specials, and the third special, you want the ability to have accessibility anywhere on two computers plus a key. And you'd also like to have all that cool entertainment and information and updates and remote access capability. If you buy System Access Mobile for $499, we'll throw in a year subscription of the SA Mobile Network absolutely free.
12 days of Christmas, December 13th through the 24th. Mike wanted me to mention, and I bought some, I can't wait to hear them, but he has found some earphones or earbuds that are just awesome. Not only full frequency response, but just excellent bass. So if you really do like the bass, you like the low frequencies, these little gizmos are going to do it for you.
It's the Radius Atomic Bass Earbuds, and they're kind of cool because not only are they supposed to be nice and comfy, they've got the silicone ear inserts.
Yeah, you got three different sizes, yeah. So you can accommodate it whether you have big ears like me or small dorsal ears, you're
yeah.
set. Wear them for hours, or if you accidentally fall asleep with your music on, you're not going to wake up with a big pain in your ear.
They've got some cool colors. I think they've got it in red and blue, green, violet, and silver, and something else, yellow. They've done that so that you can pair them nicely and be all color coordinated with your new iPod accessible Nano.
Good to be color coordinated.
That's right.
Even if you can't see it, it's always good to be color coordinated. So,
and you got to wonder, if it didn't match your Nano, would people think that you had done it on purpose to make a statement, or would they say, bless her heart, she didn't know they don't match?
I can't wait. I bought three pair.
Three pair?
Yes.
Wow.
One for my son, and one for my girlfriend, and one for moi. So,
one for you, indeed.
We can't wait. So what do you have? Do you have any holiday ideas?
I have to buy for a geek. So what do you get for the geek who has everything? I think nothing says I love you like a compact USB hub. Seriously, they make great stocking stuffers. And for the geek who has everything, well, he's got to have some place to plug it all into, right? They've got a lot of very compact USB hubs at Newegg.com for under 10 bucks. You can't beat that. I've just purchased a Cybra compact USB hub, so it's very small, got four ports, 2.0 speeds, of course, and you can either have it powered through the wall outlet, or it can simply be powered from your machine's USB port. If you're buying for someone who is a cook and really likes kitchen gadgets and gizmos, head on over to Amazon.com because they've got awesome stuff for half off. You can get Cuisinart and KitchenAid, blenders, mixers, food processors, all that cool stuff. Things that would typically be $200 to $300, you can get them for under $100 right now.
We will get into the presentation today, and hopefully we can sell people, or at least they will take the time and go check out all the fun that you can have on Facebook or Twitter and decide which one or maybe both is right for you. On the next Serotalk podcast, we give you the gift of entertainment. Awesome resources for radio, music, TV shows, and the players. Email your favorite sites to resources at serotalk.com and get ready for thousands of radio stations, our top 10 music sites, old-time radio sites, scanner feeds, TV shows, full-length movies. We hope you'll join us and tell your friends about the new resource for access technology, Serotalk.com. Today on Serotalk, we're taking up the issue of social networking. Why should we do it? What does it mean? Joining me today are Ricky Inger, Mike Calvo, and Peter Bosley from Ohio State University.
It's a social networking thing. It was started by a college guy, 23 years old, and he dreamt this up in his college dorm room. Peter's been a good friend of mine for years. I've had great, great amounts of fun poking him and bugging him on Facebook, posting miscellaneous, extraneous pieces of information that he doesn't ever want anyone to know, but now has been archived forever and can be searched
for
on Facebook. So go look at his profile. You're over at Ohio State University. You do tech work for them. Is that how you got hooked up into Facebook?
No, I actually joined Facebook when I first started college at Ohio State when I was 18 years old.
How is it enhancing your life? What are you accomplishing with it?
Facebook's cool. You talk to your friends, you catch up with people you haven't seen in years. I've been talking to some people from high school that, you know, maybe I hadn't talked to in, gosh, 6-7 years. So you get to connect with people.
I'm using Facebook. My wife got on it. I got on it. We tried the MySpace thing, and even though System Access works pretty well with MySpace, too noisy. You know, I'm a little more laid back. I want information. I want to get to the information, read it. I've got to go about my business. I'm not really big on blinging out, you know, my information page like you can do on a MySpace. On Facebook, you're able to connect with a lot of people. And like Peter said, you know, I meet with a lot of people, shoot, from way back even in elementary school. It's been really scary how people find you, and maybe some people you don't want to find you.
I suspect that will happen at some point, or perhaps I'll be the scary person and find somebody who wishes I hadn't.
Well, I say it works fine with the block function.
The really cool thing about Facebook is that it's partly about being able to do things like post your status. You know, what am I doing right now? Mine are usually pretty boring, like I'm going to get coffee before a meeting. But I have this illusion that all my friends out there care and they'll see it.
It's interesting because the Twitter thing, who cares? But at the same time, I sit there finding myself reading everybody's stuff. What are they doing?
Very strange. I mean, just to get a glimpse into people's worlds. And these are things that are only possible through social networking. You wouldn't pick up the phone and call your 50 friends.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Maybe some people do actually do that. You can post articles and generate some pretty good debates, and you post things that you're interested in, and people are able to comment.
Have you ever done pictures, Pete, at all on yours? Have you put pictures up?
Oh, yeah. I tend to post pictures from little vacations or, you know, little events that happen. Sometimes I'm a bit slow at actually getting to them, but people like to see that stuff. They feel like they're connected with you.
You'd be surprised how many people have cameras, how many blind people carry around cameras, take pictures of people, and now with all these facial recognition cameras that actually can focus in on the face of an individual, as long as you're almost pointing in the right direction. And it's cool because you can really memorialize this stuff. You can't tag people in albums. It's really cool. You can actually go through a picture and you can click on the people's faces and tag them, and it'll caption their face, their name in the picture. And then when you look on Facebook, you know, you can look through somebody's profile and see all the pictures they've been marked up in or they've been tagged in. Some people from high school have pictures of me when I was back into rapping back when I was about 15. And I'm like wearing the parachute pants and the just totally 80s look. I've had a blast with the Facebook, and sometimes you can really get obsessive over it and get hooked on it. I have it going to my cell phone. And do you use it with your cell phone, Pete, at all?
Yes, actually, that's a good point. People have gone to arranging social events on there. Send me an invite to a party on Facebook. You know, you don't even have to be at your computer.
If you have the web on your cell phone, you can also just browse the page using mobile speak or talks.
Use Jot, JOTT.com. Usually for reminders, notes to yourself, or you can add Jot contacts, things like that, and send other people reminders. But the other thing that you can do is add Facebook as a contact in Jot. So you can be out on the road and driving through McDonald's and update your Facebook accordingly so everybody knows.
Are any of you involved in any kind of groups for change? I mean, a lot of people feel, and I would agree, that Facebook was instrumental in the election of President-elect Barack Obama. Did any of you participate either in that or just some kind of campaign for social change?
I did. There's a list up there right now for users of Braille displays that want the Braille displays to be portable. So they started a list up there. One of the guys on the network started the list. You just go up there and you kind of give your vote of support.
I am in the process of getting some things up there. I'm still in the process of actually wording the title of the group. Right now, if you do a search for the word blind on Facebook, you're going to come up with some really good stuff, like the Accessible Digital Lifestyle group that we have. Very cool, where we can post articles about tech gadgets and gizmos and write on the Facebook wall. Searching for blind, you not only get these useful type things like the Digital Lifestyle group, the Victor Reader Stream fans group, things like that, but you also get some things you probably didn't want to get. Working on titling my group such that they'll come up appropriately in searches, and what they're going to be is just a place for blind people and friends and family of blind people to come together and discuss things and share some resources.
There's a serious side to Facebook, I think, for us as blind people, just to kind of reach out and be able to interface with people and have a common conversation. As I've said in other podcasts, it's kind of like that iPod, you know, where you have a common ground. Oh, yeah, I have a Facebook account. Well, so do I. And you start to communicate with people. And when you put these groups up there for friends or family of blind people, it all of a sudden becomes a very open, not behind closed doors, taboo thing to talk about. I hate political correctness. I really have a big problem with political correctness with respect to what it means for blindness. I think that sometimes we as blind people have screwed that up because we haven't taken the time to instruct the ignorant as to how to deal with us, what our culture is. Political correctness kind of goes out the window with Facebook, and it's just people talking to people.
Mike makes a great point in that Facebook has become ubiquitous. It's the way to talk to people. As a blind person, you can go out and talk to anyone you want to.
This being something that a lot of sighted folks are doing, and there's no reason whatsoever why blind people can't as well. I could care less about pictures in general since I can't see them, but my sighted family is certainly happy to see all the pictures of my son in his little cute Cub Scouts uniform and things like that. And I can also connect with my blind friends and talk about whatever. Social networking is for everyone, and that certainly includes blind people.
Thank you for calling the Serotalk Blab Line. Please leave a message about anything concerning the Serotalk.com podcast. By leaving a message, you acknowledge that your voice may or may not be used in an upcoming podcast. And if you haven't done so, we do ask that you think about exactly what you want to say. This will help users get the most from your words. With that said, tell us what's on your mind. Ideas for a new segment, useful software and websites, or did we get something wrong? So give us your 2 cents right now.
I just had to tell everybody this exciting news. I just transferred email to my Victor Reader stream for the very first time using Serotech, and it's kind of cool. And it's neat to think that I can take my email on the go if I don't have time to look over it on the computer or note taker. And so I just wanted to say, Serotech, that's really nifty.
Continuing our social networking theme today, I'm speaking with Will and Denise James, who reside near Tampa, Florida. Yes, some people know where to live in the wintertime as they throw their snowballs at me via Facebook. However, we'll see what happens come hurricane season. In addition to Facebook, we're going to talk about a service called Twitter, which has really taken off in 2008. People use it just to let each other know in 140 characters or less kind of what they're doing, what's going on in their life. But it's also used to monitor social events. You can get CNN news, the headlines, and National Public Radio. It's also been used to report human rights violations, whether it's an arrest and incarceration in Cairo, Egypt, or wrongful arrests at the Beijing Olympics. All kinds of uses. Companies are using it for corporate branding to get their name out there and their latest products and services and new additions to their website. Start off, Denise, by telling us exactly how you use Twitter.
I tend to be more social with Twitter. I'm following Winnie, and I have 10 following me. And I just enjoy, from day to day, hearing their comments, what they're doing with their daily life, and I'll chime in and put what we're doing, where we're at. It's kind of fun in the world as large as it is to have it become much smaller by having folks share their day.
For me, I use it for news alerts. I subscribe to CNN.com. They have an account up there. NPR News has one. And there's also a service called Recalls. And what that does, that tells you what products are being recalled. Twitter.com/recalls, and you can follow them. Microsoft Accessibility, the team over there at Microsoft.com/enable, has a Twitter feed as well that some of you will be interested in. And I happen to be following it. And it is going to be Twitter.com/MICRSFTTECH4ALL.
Will also gets text messages from other sources through his cell phone. He gets weird facts and historical facts, and he'll forward the ones that he thinks anybody else might be interested in, and I just read them when he sends them.
Like, for example, a soft-serve cone contains less calories than a full scoop of ice cream does. And that's pretty interesting.
And the fact that koala bears are very close to humans in the way our fingerprints are designed.
I guess one thing we should do, because some people are going to be interested but may feel that they don't have enough time to do both, let's discuss some of the differences between Facebook and Twitter.
Okay, on Facebook, you can do more things like Twitter and update your status. On Facebook, though, you can go a lot further with it. You can join up with specific groups. Like if you're a fan of a TV show, more than likely you're going to have a group sitting up there for that TV show, and you can join that. Look at videos, post things on the group's wall, and it also resembles a Usenet forum. Post articles and what's going on and reply to them. See the whole thread. You can also do videos. If your account is confirmed, you can do a video of up to 1 gig in size, or what is it, Denise, 20 minutes?
You can upload a video of up to 10, 24 megs in up to 20 minutes. Twitter and Facebook, your status updates are pretty short since you post on your wall. Twitter can update through Facebook. Facebook does not update back through Twitter. Facebook is a much more expansive social network in the way that you can locate people that you're friends with. We can upload pictures, videos, make comments right on someone's wall. We can import our blogs so that everyone that we're friends with can read our blog entries without actually going out to that application. Games, there are plenty of games that you could play for hours. Scrabble, Word Scramble, Word Twist, Virtual Puppy. My puppy's name is Jazzle. You go feed her and feed other hungry puppies, get them beds and houses, that sort of thing. You can invite other friends to join groups, as Will said earlier. Will and I both joined the group called Addicted to 24. From a visual standpoint, Facebook is much more visual in the sense that there are a lot of graphics, there are a lot of pictures, a lot of videos that the blind may not necessarily care about doing those parts. But there's something for everybody on that program. There's a playlist category that people are inviting to join a playlist and listen to your songs on there too. Upload a link and share the link with your friends, or put a link in a post on a group and they can click on it and go to wherever it is you're telling them to go check out the file. Or in the way of pictures and videos, they just go to your profile and watch them. There's across the top, it says your wall, info, photos, videos that people can come visit your wall on your profile and check everything out.
Now, some people might be bothered by this. They do have some audio captchas. And there is a way to get around that, especially if you have a cell phone, because what you do is you put in your cell phone number and then they send you a little text message. In my case, it was 6 characters, 3 numbers and 3 letters, and I just hit the caps lock key and it went right through. And then that is kind of an auto validation process. And now I can add people and do many more things without the need of stopping for captcha.
I believe it's their way of dealing with spammers that try to get in. When you go to upload a video, the first time it'll tell you that your video can't be more than 100 megs and more than 2 minutes. When I went to upload John and Teresa's wedding video, for instance, that was 4.5 minutes long, it told me to verify my account. I clicked on it and it asked me to put my cell phone number in and explained they were going to send me a code and a text message that I needed to come back to Facebook, put the code in, and it would verify that I'm a live human being, go through some process to let them know that I'm not a spammer. And once I receive their text message code back into Facebook, it'll allow me to put the video in that's not more than 20 minutes and not more than 10, 24 minutes.
Yeah, and then also does this the first time that you want to add a friend. So let's say you're looking for somebody and it throws this stuff at you, to either be CAPTCHA or the way for it to do that via your phone.
CAPTCHA process is accessible. It will call it off to you. It's weird to listen to because it has all this noise in the background while you're trying to pick out these characters that they're asking you to put in. But it is accessible.
You know, a friend of mine recently said, I'm not interested in that. That's for kids. So I think maybe social networking has got a bad rap, and maybe even MySpace itself has got a bad rap, because while it is for predominantly younger people. Older folks are using it as well. And maybe the reason it got a bad rap is older folks who were using it to prey on the young, be it young girls or even young boys. So do any of you know adults using MySpace? Is it also something that people might look at?
No, I think for a MySpace account, one has to be 14 or older. I do think that MySpace has gotten a bad rap from people, mainly over 18 adults, using it for the wrong reasons to prey on the younger folks. But my sister, Teresa, she is 52. She uses MySpace. She keeps track of her children and one of my nephews through MySpace. Another one of our friends, most of her relatives, are in that teenage category, and she uses it. I have another coworker who's 55, and she's been using it for years. MySpace does get a bad rap, but I do think that Facebook is a little bit more on the mature level than MySpace.
My friend also made the statement that he used to enjoy email lists. I suspect he might like something like Facebook, where the lists are more moderated, and you don't have these useless Me Too comments, and that the general intellect or level or quality of comments that people make is a little better, and that he might actually find it enjoyable. What are your thoughts on that?
Other thing that Facebook gives you, if you're not on my friends list, you can't see any of my posts or any of my links or pictures. You can't look past my profile picture without confirming you as a friend. You can't have anybody just going on there and commenting about it or giving a two-word answer.
Groups, though, you can see anybody's response. It depends on the maturity of the group and how the mods handle it. Those two-word answers pretty much are frowned upon, or the posts are deleted. I've seen quite a few posts deleted, so I'm assuming it was something like that. Me Too, or something that was not pertinent to the subject line of that particular group.
Addicted to 24 group, I haven't seen any of that two-word answer stuff. I've read, and it seems like the folks are a lot of college age or older, and there's also people that are from all over the world, and they write in different languages on there. It's really cool to look at. People are really giving some mature thought to what they're saying.
I believe one of the reasons Facebook is so popular is the very open and candid discussions and dialogue that take place. But my concern is, what mechanisms are in place? Is it either done from the members, or what measures do the companies themselves take to prevent, say, smear campaigns? Someone who intentionally or knowingly tries to disseminate misinformation or lies about either another individual, maybe a school, nonprofit, or public organization, or a business, or a competitor. What mechanisms are in place to, I'm sure you can't totally stop, but to try to minimize activity like that from taking place?
Facebook and Twitter both have where you can report abuse if you feel that somebody is abusing their membership privilege. Right, I'm sure if there was open hostility in either program, they have the right to come in and just deactivate your membership. Both will do that. And I know when I upload pictures or videos, I do have to click on a box that says, I have the right to post these pictures. In other words, I'm not breaching copyright material somewhere. So their little terms and conditions kind of run through as you're uploading or commenting or doing certain things on Facebook.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the tools out there. Very cool things you can do, some add-ons or plugins or standalone applications. I understand one thing that's cool is something called OutTwit that you can install for Outlook that will allow you to send and receive all of the Twitter posts from the comfort of your Outlook program. And I understand there's tools for synchronizing so you can post to your blog and Twitter and Facebook all simultaneously. Talk about some of those add-on applications that you're aware of so that you don't necessarily have to go to the website to do all your posting.
Well, OutTwit is a plugin that you can install into Outlook where you can update your status through it, and you can receive messages from your Twitter account, and you can respond directly to people with it. You can set up sounds, you can set up folders where you can have it go into individual folders for each person that just logs into your Twitter account, pulls information. As far as blogging goes in association with Twitter and Facebook, there's something called Twitter Tools, and you hook that into WordPress, and you give it the same information for Twitter. And you can post from your blog to your Twitter account what you're doing. And if you have any blog posts that you want to make public on Twitter, you can set it up that way as well. Now, to get this all to work on Facebook, sending to your Twitter account via your phone, text messaging through Altwit or through your blog on WordPress, there is an application on Facebook that will let you do this. Search for Twitter, and then you give it the same information, your username and password, and it will verify it. And then once that happens, your Facebook status will be updated with whatever's being sent through Twitter. Also, another thing on Facebook that you can use is something called Notes. And with the Notes, you can implement your blog's entries. You want to post your blog entries on Facebook, you can do this through the Notes by writing in your blog, and it will go to your Notes because it pulls it every 2 hours after you imported all your blog entries. So there's quite a bit of tools that you can use to keep Twitter and Facebook together as far as updating.
When you post to your blog and the blog lets Twitter know that you have a post, the Twitter will say new blog entry, and it'll give the title and it'll give abbreviated or shortened URL for people to go and link off to the blog and read your article. With the Outtwit, bringing my Twitters into Outlook and I can tweet right from Outlook, that makes it a lot easier for me to tweet. I've tweeted much, much more here in the last few days since I installed that little plugin into the Outlook. I have my inbox open all the time. Under the toolbar, the File, View, Edit menu, it puts a tiny Twitter menu. It's just the little Twitter emblem, then it's your space where you can type your message, and then you have a box, a drop-down menu that is your options, display, whatever. It has a whole list of things that you can do, and that's how we set up our settings. You can choose a folder in your Outlook, and I put a Twitter folder under my inbox. There's a little Twitter sounder that goes off as my filter for that folder. Little Twitter sound, a little birdie Twitter sound. So everything Twitter related comes in automatically, goes straight to that Twitter folder.
And for those that do not use Outlook or don't want to use Outlook, there are other applications that will let you type into Twitter. One called Twitteroo. And if you want to get a hold of some of these applications and see what else is available for doing it from your desktop besides doing it from the website, you can go to downloads on the Twitter site.
This time of year on Facebook, a lot of folks are sending their friends Christmas ornaments. Will sent me a Christmas ornament. Even though he couldn't see what he was sending me, he still sent one. Facebook just encourages people to share, and there's a lot of free stuff that you can get into and send to your friends and invite them to do. I mean, it's endless. You could spend your whole day there.
Are there any gotchas or caveats that we need to watch out for? Maybe spam or bogus ads or trick messages or anything that we should be aware of or think twice about doing on these networks?
You do get ads on Facebook, and you do need to be careful with those. Some of those ads will rope you in, or you have to sign up for something and give you credit card information, so you got to be very careful with that stuff. 120 million users on Facebook.
I have had a couple of questionables in Twitter, and all we do in Twitter, if you feel like there's just someone trying to sell their product, block them or delete them. Block them so they can't follow you or send you any messages anymore. Facebook, I have not had any spam per se, and I imagine there is, and a friend of ours told us that there actually was a virus coming through Facebook, but it was from a link. Just have to be careful where you click. You can have trouble anywhere on the internet. But the ads, you do have to be careful with. There's a lot of free stuff you can do on Facebook. Only messages I'm going to get on Facebook are from my friends. And I know that none of those are going to spam.
Tell me what you know about friends you may know. Say, for example, the two of you added me. And then I get to see a list of people that you know that I might also be friends with. I guess it applies to that 6 degrees. That if you go through at least 6 people, any 2 people will find a common link. Kind of explain how that works and how you can find friends based on your existing friends. Or how you search for classmates from high school or grade school or college or people in your hometown and things like that. Tell us what you know.
It's a random pick because I notice I'll look down the side of my page to see and it'll say people you might know. And all of those people that I might know are coming from my other friend's friend. And you can't see anything about that person that you might know unless they add you as a friend. You can pull up their profile and look at their list of friends. I've done that to try to make sure this is the person that I was looking for by knowing their other friends. But you can't get into anything deeper than that without them confirming you as a friend, too. I found two friends that I had lost touch with for years. They have networks. There's not a network for my high school, Aquinas High School in Augusta, Georgia. There are a bunch of other Aquinas. When you look for a group or a school or a person, put their name in the search and it'll bring up a list. And sometimes it's hard to tell if that's the right person, but you can look on the list, click on View Friends to see if they have any friends that you might know that will help you decide if that's the right person you're looking for. Put in a school, and if it's there, it'll bring it up. A city, there's probably a zillion networks on Facebook that you can look into for people that you know.
For my high school, I just typed in the name of it and their location and my year, and it did bring me up my classmates. Now, mind you, I didn't recognize any of those people because it's been so long ago. Very interesting to see where people moved and who stayed in Augusta, and there was one guy in the Netherlands.
Now, last night, actually, I put in Mike Loft, and it brought up the Michael Loft. There were probably 10 of them on that page, but yours had your city and state. That's how I knew that was you.
Talk about some of the settings, some of the configurations that you can make to your account and your display, themes, maybe email alerts, and things of that sort.
When you set up your Facebook settings, you can have it notify you when people write on your wall, notify you when people add you as a friend, and when they send notes out about you or whatever. You get emails, and that's a pretty neat way of finding out.
There's your regular settings, and then they have privacy settings that you can go in and you can set various things up in that.
Under your settings, you have your account settings that you'd have your username, your password, and whatever you have set up privately with Facebook. Then you have your privacy settings, and under mine, it's I have anyone that I'm friends with. Then you have your application settings.
For those that do use screen readers, sometimes the buffer will not refresh, the MSAA buffer that conveys the information in WindowEyes, or the JAWS buffer doesn't refresh. So you have to turn off your virtual cursor or MSAA mode and turn back on those two features to get the new information that pops up. And when you're adding a friend, for example, when you turn those back on, you have to go down to the bottom of your screen and you will see where it's going to confirm whether you want to send a request for the friend or add a personal message or anything of that nature. Very good, very accessible. No problems out of it. You don't need to be a power screen reader user.
You have your settings, networks, notifications, mobile, and your language. In your settings, if you want to make sure to be careful not to be caught up in anything that might ask for money, do not fill in the credit card information for gifts, ads, etc. And also with the mobile, you can upload pictures from your mobile phone and video from your mobile phone to your profile in Facebook. On your profile and your photos, it'll just put it under mobile photos uploaded from your mobile phone.
And you have to make sure your carrier is on their list. From what I understand with the phone, you can get status updates and you can approve friends or look for friends. If they do have a mobile browser that you can do all this stuff on also. If you go to m.facebook.com, just go to facebook.com on your phone, it's going to bring up the mobile page anyway. So you can do those things on your mobile browser.
How can people reach you if they want to follow you or just to get in touch with you either via Twitter or Facebook?
I'm always known as MSIPPI, M-S-I-P-P-I. That's after my first leader dog. That's my Twitter name. On Facebook, I'm listed as Denise T. James. Facebook program it's way too addictive. If I want to spend hours and hours and hours, all I have to do is open it up.
My name on Twitter is Will James. That's W-I-L-J-A-M-E-S. Go to twitter.com/WillJames. You'll see my profile. And over on Facebook, I am William James. That is my name on there.
Thank you for having us.
Looking forward to meeting a bunch of new people from this.
Well, if you'd like to reach moi, Michael Loff, you can do so by looking for Michael Loff. It's M-I-C-H-A-E-L-L-A-U-F. And again, I think you'll get about 10. I reside in the city of Evansville, Indiana, so that would be the one for me. Or you can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/Serotalk. And hopefully you know how that's spelled, but if not, it's S-E-R-O-T-A-L-K. I'm still new. My entries are pretty plain and bare, and I'll get some photos in place and try to have something presentable here definitely by the end of December. But I look forward to hearing from any of you who are existing users or begin using the services as a result of listening to this podcast. And I want to thank everyone for their 2 cents. I think together we come up with a dime today, about 5 people. Social networking is the future, and there's no reason that we should be excluded, either by choice or by design. There's something for everyone. You've been listening to Serotalk. Visit us at www.serotalk.com. Send us an email at resources@serotalk.com or leave us a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB-2522. We may read your email or play your voicemail in the next podcast. Join us in 2 weeks as we explore all the internet and life has to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.